Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, if I look back over the last couple of years, this year in particular has been pretty interesting. There has been a lot to worry about this year, hasn't there? Yeah. I'm telling you what. Well, here's the thing. We have just a few more months before 2020 is over. But that doesn't necessarily mean that our worries are going to be over. We think, oh man, I just can't wait for 2020 to be over, right? If you look through like all the memes and different things, you know, there's all the different aspects of how surviving 2020, that's the goal, you know, just get through the end of the year and then everything will be okay. For some reason, we assume that 2021 is going to be fantastic. It's going to be like the reward for getting through 2020, right? It kind of seems like it, doesn't it? Just wait till the end of the year. We just have to survive. But the truth is that does not necessarily mean that our worries will be over. Life always seems to give us something to worry about, doesn't it? There's always something that might end up going wrong, something that we love that might get taken away from us, something that we dread that gets thrown into our lives. There's always seems to be something for us to worry about. And if you let it, that worry can overcome your life. It can take control of your life. That helps us to remember that the temptation to worry will never end. Just because 2020 comes and goes, the temptation to worry will not end. None of us are immune to worrying. None of us are immune to it. We all worry. Now, we may worry about different things that may happen in our lives. We may worry about different issues. But we all worry. We all worry at times in our life. So here's the question. How do we transition from a life that is dominated by worry to a life that is saturated by peace? That's the word I was looking for, saturated. To transition from a life that is dominated by worry to a life that is saturated with peace. And Paul teaches us a very simple, a very powerful, but often overlooked solution to this problem by pointing us to the source of peace that is available to us because of who we are in Jesus. Paul points us to that source of peace because we are in Christ, in Jesus, that this source of peace is made available to us. Let's look at our passage of scripture today. Philippians, we're going to look at chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. The Bible says this: be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Before we look at the process of how to transition from worry to peace, before we look at how to get from worry to peace, let's take a little bit of time, first of all, to understand why it's important that we do this. Like, if we don't get why it's important for us to do this, we won't make an effort to transition from worry to a life of peace. If you and I understand worry correctly, if we see it for what it really is, it's going to help us a lot to be able to see why worry is going to hinder our walk with our Heavenly Father. Why is it that worry causes us to not trust in our Heavenly Father? Jesus tells us often, don't worry. Don't think about the things here on earth. Trust in your Heavenly Father. Matthew 6 is a great example of how Jesus tells us not to worry. In this passage, Jesus tells us strongly three times, stop worrying. Trust your Father. Stop worrying. Look at what he says. Matthew 6, we're going to look at verses 25. This whole passage is really good, but we're going to kind of go through it real quick. 25 says this: therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life. Stop worrying about your life is what he's talking about there. Stop worrying about your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Verse 26 says this, behold, look at the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Think about this. Look at the birds of the field. See, look at the birds. See how God takes care of them. They don't have investment. They don't have retirement plans. They're not investing in stocks and bonds, and yet God takes care of them throughout their whole life. He's got them under his control. Are you not so much better than that? Are you not much better than that? He looks at the flower. We can see the same thing with the flowers of the field. Look at what he says in verse 30. He says this, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow was cast into the oven, very short lifespan, and yet how, and does he not so much, not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He's like, doesn't he care for you? Look at the flowers in the field. Doesn't he care for you? Verse 31 says this. Therefore, take no thought, saying, again, there's that word, there's that command. Stop worrying. Don't worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? So Jesus again says, stop worrying. Don't worry about it. Even when it comes to our future on earth, as opposed to our future in eternity. Verse 33 says this, and this is a famous verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Very famous, very popular verse, right? The next verse says this, verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take care, or shall take thought for the things of itself. This reminds us over and over again that Jesus tells us to stop worrying about, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There we go. We see that Jesus tells us these things are worry things, are things that we worry about, are not helpful with our walk with God. Why is it important that Jesus tells us to not worry? And the answer is in verse 30. The answer is in verse 30 where he says, O ye of little faith. He's pointing to the specific lack of faith or trust that God will take care of his children. That's you. Worry is a sign of lack of trust. Someone said that worry is imagining bad things happening to you and then living as if they already have. Worrying is imagining bad things happen to you and then living your life as if they already have. And as a Christian, this literally means that for us, worry is simply an outward display of a heart that lives as if God is not concerned about you. It's an outward display of a heart that is not able to put trust that God is in, he cares about you, or that he is not in control enough to do anything about your situation. Thing is, we can have a head knowledge of God's care and provision for us, but just because we have a head knowledge, just because we know these verses, we've memorized these verses, does not necessarily mean that those truths have taken root in our heart. And so here's the question. How do we transition from a heart of worry to a peaceful trust in God? This is ultimately what this is talking about, right? The transition from worry to peace is about a transition from doubting God's goodness and graciousness and his power in your life to a trust of God's goodness. Paul tells us the process by looking again at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, this is the process. We know why. Because this why is basically an outward evidence of our lack of faith in God's care and trust for, or care and
and power to care for us in our lives, right? We get that, right? That's why it's important that we stop worrying and start trusting. But how do we make that transition? This is really interesting. This verse 6 is really helpful because it doesn't just tell us the what not to do and the what to do, but it also tells us the steps, the process of how to transition. It says, be careful for nothing. This is the don't worry. This is the what not to do. We get that, right? Don't worry. But this is what to do. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The path to peace is prayer. The path to peace is prayer. And he tells us that this applies to every aspect of our lives. Be careful for nothing. That's all encompassing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is all encompassing, every aspect of our life, big things, small things, things that look are overwhelming, things that seem inconsequential. All of the things, every aspect of our life should be dominated by this natural response to go from worry to fear. But how do we do that? The actual aspect of this is the simple, if you look at this verse, it's interesting how he structures this is really interesting. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that's the how, let your requests be made known unto God is the what. Our goal is to let our requests be made known unto God. How we do that? Three simple things: prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. But what does that mean? Simply put, it means this: talk to him, ask him, and thank him. Talk to him, ask him, and thank him. When we do these three things, as we make our requests known to God, we will be able to transition from a life of worry to a life of peace. So let's get into the nitty gritty, shall we? Let's get into the details. First, talk to him. What does it mean to talk to God? This is interesting because there's a separation between prayer and supplication, which is the asking for, the requesting of a need, right? But there's prayer and supplication, a little bit different. What is he talking about with this prayer? It's basically simply saying, talk to your Heavenly Father. Cast your burdens on him. We often do this with people around us, right? Sometimes when Bethany's having a hard day and she needs to tell me about what's going on and the things that she's having a hard time dealing with, maybe a difficult area of life or maybe a problem that has come up that she's struggling with. You know, sometimes she just wants me to be somebody who listens to her, right? And we'll talk and we'll walk through it. We'll talk about it. And she doesn't necessarily want me to be the problem solver. She wants me to be the person to listen to her. A shoulder to lean on, an ear, a hearing ear, right? And that's exactly my role in that circumstance. Sometimes, and there are times when, sometimes when I get asked, when we talk about these things, I can't solve this problem. I get into problem solve mode. You know what I'm talking about? Guys, we do this a lot, right? We get into problem solve mode. And then when we see the problem is totally beyond our capability of caring for it, we're like, why are you talking to me about this? I can't do anything about it, right? and where we mess up our role. We're not the problem-solving role right there. We're the listening ear role. And so when Bethany, and I do this with Bethany too, and our kids with us, right? We have a struggle. We're dealing with something. It's hard. Life is difficult. And so we want an ear to talk to, somebody to talk to, somebody to get the burden off of our chest and to share that with somebody. And this is the role that God wants to be for us. This prayer is talking about talking to God, sharing your burdens. And this is what we do with our Heavenly Father. You know the song, "Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone." You know the song. That worry that we carry, that anxiety over what may happen, that is what we talk to our Heavenly Father about. Why? because he's there for you. He is your listening ear. Peter says the exact same thing in one simple but beautiful line. He says this, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. It's not talking about needs. It's talking about care, your worries. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. This is God, the almighty creator, who takes time to be with you, who wants to love you and share his goodness with you. Be that listening ear for you. So talk to him. Tell him your struggles. Tell him what you're worried about. Tell him what you're anxious over. Let him be the listening ear. The first part is talking to him, and then we follow through with asking him. Asking him. Let your with prayer and supplication. That supplication, that's literally describing asking for a need. Right? That's the second part. Tell your father what you need. Why is this important? Why is it important that we not only tell our Heavenly Father about the worries and the struggles that we go through, but we ask him, Father, I need you to care for this need in my life. It does two things. One, it requires us to humbly let go. It requires us to humbly let go of the things that we are holding on to, that we're struggling with. It means that you have to be humble enough to let go of it and trusting enough to put it in his hand. Humble enough to let go, trusting enough to put it in his hands. This is the process of asking for your need. And it's helpful to be reminded again that he's talking about everything, everything, in all things. Be careful for nothing and everything. Pray and ask him. The small things, this is where the humility of letting go comes in. The small things that you think you've got under control, give that to him too. The big things that's seemingly impossible for you to be able to find the answer to, trust him enough to give that to him too. Cast all your care upon him. And literally, it's okay to do that. It's okay. God's big enough to be able to handle our difficulties. It's what God wants you to do simply because he cares for you. That's one thing if Bethany is telling and asking me to do these things and I have no power, no ability to be able to do it. But we're talking about our Heavenly Father here, the one whose the worlds were created by him. There's another third aspect of it, which is to thank him. This is an interesting thing. Thanksgiving. Look at verse 6 again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, asking the need with thanksgiving. This is all an aspect of letting our requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving is simply like a follow-through of talking and asking. Thanksgiving is a follow-through of talking and asking. You know how you, if you ever swing, or if you ever swing, that's a weird word. If you ever swing a golf club or swing a tennis racket or even kick a soccer ball, there's an aspect of that follow-through. The follow-through, like even though the ball has already left the racket, even though the ball has already left the golf ball or the golf club, even though the ball has already left the foot, the follow-through is incredibly important, right? And so because of that, that follow-through is what prayer is, or thanksgiving is. Us following through by thanking God for what he's about to do. I mean, we do this in regular life, right? We say, hey, Dan, can you do this for me? And Dan says, oh, yeah, I'll take care of it. And then I say, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. He hasn't done anything yet. All he said is yes, right? And yet but thanking somebody, even before a step is taking, the only thing that's happened is he said, sure, I'll take care of it. I got this, no problem. And we follow through with thank you, right? Why is it any different that we would do this with our Heavenly Father? We ask him. He's an ear for us to talk to. He's a shoulder for us to lean on. And then also, as we trust in him, that follow through of trust by thanking him. This is different from thanking him after he does something. This is an actual part of letting our requests be made known to God. It fits in that. So you pray. You talk to him. you supplicate, you ask him your needs, and you follow through with thanksgiving, with thanking him. As you let go of your worries, your fears, your needs, and you put them in your Father's hands, grab onto the fact that he loves you as his child and that he will care for you as his child. Thank him for what he is about to do, right? What does he do? Here's the question. What does God do in response to us doing this? It's interesting. Beautiful, wonderful, and I've used this word before, intriguing, because of what he does. Verse 7 says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." As I was studying this, the first thing that came out, that popped out, is this. There's nothing about his answering my prayer in this promise. He doesn't say he's going to answer my prayer. It's like, wait a second. Wait, there's no answer to prayer there. All it says is the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's no mention of God taking care of the request that I'm bringing to him. What does that mean, though? What is that all about? The truth is, that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. Why is that a wonderful thing? We find the answer to that in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. It says this, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Verse 20 says this, 21 says this. Did I put 21 in? Oh, okay. I didn't put 21. It says, "Unto him be glory in the church, us, by Christ Jesus, whom we are in throughout all ages, world without end." Here's the thing that's really interesting. God does not limit himself to our requests. This is an amazing thought. This is what this is describing. He works beyond what we ask or what we think. That's great, because each one of us is hindered by nearsightedness. We have nearsightedness. What do we mean by that? We are hindered by what we don't know and what we cannot see. Because of that, our requests to our Father are limited by that very same nearsightedness. What does this mean? Here's what it means. What we may see as the best for us may not be the best for us. And this is something that requires humility and trust, that God sees beyond what we see. Sometimes it means that the very thing that we dread going through is the actual thing that is the best thing for us. And so God does not limit himself to what we ask him. He goes much further beyond that to care for us in ways that are beyond our nearsightedness. Sometimes we don't see that until after we go through it. And then we see how good it was for us after having gone through it. And someone told me not too long ago, "One day I want to thank the person who put me through all this struggle and all this difficulty. Because if it was not for that, I would not get to serve Jesus the way I get to today." Isn't that what it's all about? Knowing Jesus, or knowing that Jesus is, that our Father is not bound by our requests, but goes beyond our requests to care for us. Knowing that helps us to see why God gives us the very thing that he does give us, which is what? Peace. Peace. What does God's peace do? Ben, can you go back to verse 7, Philippians 4, 7? The peace of God, what does it do? First, it passes all understanding, goes beyond our understanding of why it does this. But what it does do is it'll keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. that keep is talking about guarding, like a group of elite soldiers, like the elite, like, I don't know what, like, you know, like the what's like Green Beret or the Navy SEALs, like these Navy SEAL guys. You got like a whole squad of Navy SEAL guys, like, who are like totally surrounding you, encompass you with like all their high tech gear, like totally like guarding you, like you are their mission. They're protecting you from the onslaught of temptation that you might face over worry and fear and dread. It protects you from those temptations. It does protect you in two ways. It keeps your heart, protects your emotions, and it protects your mind, your thoughts. It protects you from the constant onslaught of the temptation to worry. That peace allows us to set our thoughts on Him. We're going to see what it means to set our thoughts on the things that God wants us to in the next passage where He talks about that. But having that peace enables us to be able to set our thoughts on the things that God has given to us. In order for us to do that, though, it's all about asking Jesus, or talking to Jesus, asking Jesus and thanking Him. When we do that, God gives us the peace that we need in order for us to be able to trust in Him. This means that you and I can have peace in regardless of whatever situation we're in, whether it may be financial difficulty, whether it may be an uncertain future, whether it may be struggling with the coronavirus, does not matter. You can have great peace, unexplainable. Why do I have this peace? I don't know. It just God gives it to me, and I have it. This aspect of peace that God gives us is available to us when we ask Him for it, when we talk to Him about our struggles, when we ask Him for it, and when we thank Him for it. Even if that means going through the very thing that we're dreading, God miraculously and inexplicably gives us peace. If you have not put your trust in Jesus to forgive your sins, to save you, to make you God's son, God's daughter, this process does not change. This is literally this is the same thing that we do when we let go of ourselves, when we tell Him about our condition. Father, I am a sinner. I know that I've sinned against You. I know I am not worthy to be called Your child. And yet You ask Him. You tell Him, You ask Him, Father, but will You, by Your grace, make me Your child? Jesus, will You please forgive me of the sins that I have committed? Will You restore my relationship with You? And then there's the thankfulness, the trust, the follow through, trusting and believing that God will do just that. And He gives you peace, assurance, trust, knowing that He will care for you. If you have not trusted Jesus yet, put your trust in Him. As a believer, that same gospel applies to every aspect of your life. Talk to Jesus. Talk to your Heavenly Father. Ask Him for the things that you're worried about. Cast your cares on, cast your worries on Him. Be willing to let go of it. Be willing to let Him take hold of it. And then follow through with thanksgiving. And trust Him that He will give you the peace you need. Whether He answers your request or whether He goes bigger than what you can see to care for you in that way, even if it means going through the thing you don't want to, trust Him for it and let Him give you the peace that is available to you. We don't know how, we don't know why it's there, but it is there. And He's sufficient and He cares for us. So let's think about that and be reminded of it. If there's something you're struggling with, if there's something you're like, man, I'm really having a hard time with it, talk to Him about it. And that's okay, just to talk. Just talk to Him about it. He hears that. And then ask Him to help you through it. Ask Him to help you. And then thank Him. Follow through with thanksgiving. And Jesus, let's pray. Jesus, thank You so much for how You care for us. Thank You for the ways that You meet our needs. Surprising and intriguing the ways You care for us. Thankfully, it's much better than we can imagine, that we can think to ask, that we can think to bring to You. But we know that You're strong, we know that You're capable, and we know You love and care for us. And so we thank you for how you do that, even going beyond all we ask or think. Help us to put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.